All right, it's time to start the meeting. We've all had a lot of fun today. And you guys up here in the front, I hope to see you in a few minutes in another place over here. So you can do a good job of listening now and then have a fun time after, right? Okay, so let's sing number 25. Somebody start it, please. Hymn number 25. Beginning, just before we pray and ask for help, this hymn is a beautiful hymn. And I hope each one of us can spend some time reading this on our own. And I want to just tell you boys up here, I was really encouraged to see some of you really thinking about what you were saying as you were singing along. I know that some of you weren't singing, that's sad. because some of you know how to read and you chose not to sing. But I'm going to tell you that it's an encouragement to me to see you sing. And you know, when I saw, I'm just a man, but the Lord saw. And so it's very important for us to get something out of this meeting tonight. And the way we can get something out of the meeting tonight is if we pay attention. So I'm going to ask everybody to pay special attention. And with the Lord's help, we'll all get something that we can remember and be a blessing to our souls. That's what we really want. So let's ask the Lord for help for me to be able to speak, but also for everyone here to be able to listen and to pay attention and to get something. When you go home, you can think, you know, we had in the meeting about whatever I speak about tonight. So let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee very much for the Lord Jesus who died on the cross so that we could be saved. And we thank Thee for each person that's here tonight who has given their life to Thee, Lord Jesus, has looked up and seen Thee dying on the cross for them and accepted Thee as their Savior. And now we just pray for help for me to be able to communicate what I have been given to say. Help me to be serious and to convey the message in the right way. And we just think of the many people that are here tonight. We think of the boys and girls too. We pray that they may get something and that they'll listen well. We think of the fun time we've had today. We thank Thee for the safety that we all had, and for the nice meals, and for the hard work of many who gave of themselves so that we could have a good time today. And so we have a few moments. Help us, Lord, to benefit by being here tonight. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Does anybody know what this is? Well, it is instructions, and it's called the STEPS Initiative. So they're planning to do some additions of buildings here in this development with the objective of being a help to people. So there's going to be some more places to sleep, but also a gymnasium, perhaps, and maybe a meeting center. So they have some plans, and they're looking for people to give them money. And so they have this brochure, and it says Steps of Faith for Generational Impact. And I've been thinking a little bit about this week, because every time I walk down the hall from my room down to the stairs to get something to eat, I see this big sign, Steps. So today we're going to talk a little bit about our walk. The steps that we take in our lives that are our walk, the way we walk through this life before God. Because we got to remember that that's who we're walking before. We're walking before God. Now, I want to talk a little bit about five men who are all related. And you say, huh? They're related? I say, yeah, they're related. Some are grandsons. Some are sons. Some are maybe a little more distantly related, but they're all relatives. And I want to speak about this for a couple of reasons. First of all, I want to just point out a few things about the people that are here in this room. You're here because somebody brought you here, right? You're here because your dad came, or your mom came, or somebody brought you that really loved you and wanted you to have the advantage of hearing a talk like we have tonight. Because they care about how you live for God. They care. They love you enough to want you to walk before God in a right way. Now, before we talk about this, I want to tell a little story. The last time I was in Michigan was in June. And I was at Port Huron. And I spoke about a man by the name of Moses. Does anybody remember that? Moses was an amazing man and has been a tremendous encouragement to me. But after the meeting on Moses, somebody talked to me about what I had said in the meeting. Now, I had made some comments about how Moses, his name means drawn out. He was taken out of the judgment waters and blessed in his life. He was given the best education, the best things. And when he was 40 years old, then he served the Lord. And he went into the backside of the desert. But then when he was 80, he led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. He was a deliverer. And to me, it was such an encouragement to me, the life of Moses, and I commend that to each one of us for study too. But this man said to me, he said, you know, when you were speaking about Moses and how he was drawn out, you told the kids that if they didn't accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they were going to go to hell. And they were going to be punished. And they would be so sorry when they remembered that they were in a gospel meeting and they had the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus, and they didn't. Now, last night, we had the privilege of hearing a really excellent gospel presentation. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The reason I enjoyed it so much was that I felt the Holy Spirit here in this room. And you know, the brother that was walking around, I felt like the Lord was standing right there beside him, strengthening him and helping him. Now I'm going to tell you what this brother told me. He said, you know, you told those kids and those people there that if they didn't come to the Lord Jesus, they were going to have to go to hell. And it's a miserable place. A horrible place of eternal suffering and pain. Now, Don said last night that there might be 10. There might be more people in the room who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Really? Are you one of those people that you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior yet? You have the opportunity now. You heard about it last night. Now you've heard it again, that you need to come to the Lord Jesus. But now what this man told me was this. And I'm going to just read the verses. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 2. This isn't what we're going to talk about tonight particularly, but I just was so impressed by these two verses that the man told me. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 2 and verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now this is the verse that this brother told me. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now let's picture this for a minute. What happened? There's this ark in the bulrushes, right? And it's floating just in the water. And inside is little Moses. But what did one of the servants have to do? She had to reach down and pick up that ark, and then it would seem that Pharaoh's daughter opened it, and there was that little boy, Moses. And you know what the brother said to me? He said, you know, sometimes when we present the gospel, we need to do it in a gentle, loving way. So just like that lady, that servant picked up the ark, took Moses out of the waters of death, drew him out, opened it up, then it was opened up, and there was the little baby. And perhaps the gospel can be presented to you boys and girls and anyone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants you to have him as your Savior. Won't you come? Now I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what we have on our hearts tonight, and that is our walk before the Lord. But you know, if we're not saved, if we don't belong to the Lord Jesus, then this talk is of really no value to you. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, then what's the point of being at a meeting where we're going to be talking about our walk with the Lord Jesus if we don't even know him as our Savior? So tonight we're reaching out gently and lovingly to you and saying, you need to come to the Lord Jesus. And then we have the privilege to walk before him. So let's just turn to the first one in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is what we want to talk a little bit about tonight. And I'm not standing here saying that I have walked with God faithfully my whole life. I'm not going to tell you that. It's not true. I have a difficult time in my walk with the Lord, but it's a daily thing for each one of us. We need to walk with the Lord every day, every hour of the day, and every day of the year. And then at the end of our life, as a Christian, we can say we walked with the Lord our whole life. Now let's just spend a little bit of time talking about Enoch for a minute. Why is his age broken up in verse 21 and verse 22? You know, I'm not sure, but the Holy Spirit of God has presented us with this truth in these two verses. He lived 65 years, and then he had a son whose name was Methuselah, right? Could it be that he was just a normal guy for 65 years? And then in verse 22, he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. I find this really encouraging, actually, because I'm 63. So I have time to get my act together. It's a shame that I'm 63 and maybe I haven't walked with God as much as I should have. How old are you? You say, well, I'm just young, or I'm 20 or 30 or whatever age you are, you have the opportunity to walk with God the rest of your days. And we don't know how many more we're going to have until the Lord comes. But Methuselah walked with God for 300 years. Now, if you do the math, 300 plus 365, you get what? 365, right? How many days in a year? 365? You think that's a coincidence? Or do you think there's maybe something then that we can think a little bit about? I like to think about it this way, that if we walk with God every day, then After 365 years, we've got another year that we've walked with God, right? Can we say that we've walked with God our whole life so far as a Christian? I hope so. But if we haven't, let's start walking with the Lord now, so that the rest of our days are characterized. We had this in Tim's meeting. How is our life characterized? By living in the new man? We have that privilege, don't we? Okay, let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. What's interesting is a lot of these ones that we're going to talk a little bit about tonight that were all related are in the same chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. And the reason is that these men were men of faith. That's why they're in this chapter. They also walked with God. And they walked before God. And so our meeting tonight is to encourage each one of us to be very interested in the walk that we have and the steps that we take in our walk for God each day. And to ask ourselves the question about our walk. What is our walk like? Is it with the Lord? Is it with God? Or is it not? We may be saved. We may be safe. We're not going to go to hell and burn. But we have the privilege of walking with God in this life. And it's a wonderful privilege. You may say, oh, really? Try it. Try it. Read your Bible in the morning. Ask the Lord to take care of you through the day. When you have the first problem, the first thing you do is you say, Lord, help me. What am I going to do? Read the calendar when you're eating breakfast. Think about the verse on the calendar. Read the hymn. Then another problem comes along. Lord, help me. What am I going to do? Our first thought is the Lord then. And we go through the day. Lord, Lord, Lord. And it isn't long before we look back on the day and we say, you know, the Lord helped us through this day. It was amazing. I'm happy. It works. Try it. You say, oh yeah, whatever. Try it. It works. You'll be a happy man or lady or boy or girl. You may say, well, that old guy at the front, yeah, that's okay for him. But when I was a boy, when I let the Lord control me, I was a happy boy. When I did my own way, didn't work. I had trouble after trouble after trouble. But the Lord is the way. It was said in Hebrews 11, right? So let's read those verses together about Enoch. And then I'm going to add a little bit of homework for you to look at the rest of them, because in verse 5 we have Enoch, but in verse 6 we have Noah, and verse 8 we have verse 7 we have Noah, verse 8 we have Abraham. Then we talk about Isaac and Jacob in verse 9. But we can read all about them because they were men of faith. And the Holy Spirit put these verses in this Word of God that we have for us and for our learning, our benefit, so that years later we could say, hey, Isaac, he walked with God and God appreciated it. And guess what? If we walk with God, God appreciates it. And God blesses us for it. If we walk with God, we're not going to walk in places that we shouldn't be. We've heard lots of meetings about the things that we should not do, correct? When we read the book of Proverbs, I'm talking to you young people now. When we read the book of Proverbs, we read verses about where we're not to go and we're not to do. But if we walk with God, we're not going to go and do the things that the Bible says we shouldn't be doing. And guess what? If we walk with God, we're going to have a blessing for it. Because we're going to be kept from all those things that are going to ruin us. You know, I was talking to somebody today. She's here. And I made the comment, I said, you know, sin ruins everything. Think about it. The sins that we've done in our life ruins our life, makes us unhappy. We do things that we think about, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, why did I ever do that? Because I wasn't walking with the Lord. That's why. That's why. So let's read verse 5 about Enoch. So this is the first one in this chapter, and there's lots in this chapter. If you haven't studied Hebrews 11, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to be fed in your soul, you study this chapter. And I'm talking about not 1 hour or two or three or four or five. I'm talking about days. Because there's days of information in here. Line by line, if you follow it along, you'll find things that enrich you in your soul. It's a wonderful thing. Now, we're going to read in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his testimony, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And we're going to read the next verse too, but I want to talk a little bit about our walk. So our walk is important because the way we walk, if it's good in the sight of God, is pleasing to God. And here's more homework. Look up in the scriptures where it talks about God being pleased with something. There's many of them. When I was a kid, a boy, I used to play dodgeball too, right? I'm old. I can't do it like I used to. But I used to love playing dodgeball, especially when I hit somebody really good. It was bad, but I liked doing that. Now, So Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. He wasn't found. What does that mean? Well, I've thought about it this way, and I think some people have probably heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. There was probably a whole bunch of people that didn't believe that Enoch had gone to heaven without dying. And so they sent a search party out to look for him, don't you think? And they went and they looked and they looked and they looked and they looked and they didn't find him because he could not be found. Because he was in heaven already without dying. And why did he do that? Why did God take him to heaven without dying? Because he walked with God and God appreciated his walk so much with him and was so pleasing to God that God said, I want him to come to my home now. I like that thought. Now we have the privilege, each one of us, of walking with God every day. If we want to. If we want to. You know, sometimes we stay up too late, right? And we may be studying, okay, but sometimes we stay up too late because we're doing stuff that we shouldn't really be doing. And then the next morning when it's time to have our reading, we're tired. Uh-oh. I don't think I'm... My brain is feeling too good. I'm not going to read this morning. Oh dear. How can we take the right steps if we haven't read the Word of God and we haven't talked to the Lord? How on earth can we ever prosper? So, this man Enoch, he wasn't found because he couldn't be. He had gone to be with God. God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, testimony is a big word. But I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us has a testimony. And it's either good or it's crummy. You say, huh? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let's say you're in grade 5, okay? So if I go to your grade 5 teacher and I say, how's this kid in class? Is he well behaved? Or does he not pay attention? Does he shoot spitballs? And so what's important for us to realize is that we have a testimony, whether it's our teacher. For me, it might be my customers. Is Paul honest? Does he give us a fair invoice? Does he keep his word? Maybe you're in university. You're trying to put on a good show. What kind of testimony do you have? Are you going along with the rest of everybody in the sin of this world? It's a challenge, isn't it? What does our walk look like? What is our testimony? And remember, when I say these things, I'm speaking to me. Because I'm no better than anyone here. I'm the same. I'm just a sinner that came to the Lord Jesus and said, yes, I have. I'm guilty. I need to be punished, but can you please forgive me, God? And he will. He drew me to himself. So let's turn over to the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis for another verse. Now, what's interesting to me is that this man, Enoch, he walked with God. And I'm going to tell you a story about somebody that was very special to me. And you know what? He's in heaven right now because he's gone. He died. It was my grandpa. But when he came to our house, he used to read his Bible all the time. I'd say, Grampy, let's go play ping pong. And he would put his Bible down and we'd go play ping pong and we'd have a great time. And then he'd go back and he'd read his Bible some more. And some more, and some more, and some more. And then my mom would say, it's time for supper. He put his Bible down, and we'd have supper. And then he'd go and read his Bible again and again and again. And then we'd say, it's time for football. He'd come and play with us. And then he'd go and read his Bible again. He had an effect on us kids. Do you have a grandpa that loves to read the Bible? That reads it all the time? He plays football with you. Or baseball, but he also reads his Bible. You know, Enoch walked with God, and guess what? There were other people that saw and were affected by it. And let's remember that we have an influence on everybody around us, right? We affect other people. And parents, we need to read our Bibles. We need to have an appetite for the things of the Lord. If we don't, our kids are like, well, Dad doesn't. He never reads his Bible ever. He makes a decision. He never reads the Bible to find out what he's supposed to do. Huh? So dads and moms, we need to read the Word of God because we have an effect on our children that are coming after us. Now we're going to read about one of the descendants of this man, Enoch, in chapter 6. And his name was Noah. And we know the story, don't we? How that man had corrupted himself so bad that God, it says in verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, and it repent, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. You know, in the chapter before, it said two times that Enoch walked with God. And if somebody said, do you know such and such young person? Does he walk with God? What would the answer be? If somebody that knows you really well, I said to them, does she walk with God? What would the answer be? Now, I say that as a challenge to you on purpose, to give you a little shake, because we all need that sometimes. We all need a little shake about our walk with God. And it's not that hard to walk with God. He wants us to. He'll encourage us to. He'll give us the desire to. We have the Word of God in our own language. We need to read it and enjoy it. Well, this man Noah, he walked with God too. This is a wonderful privilege he had to walk with God. And I have that privilege, and so do you, to walk with God now in my life and in your life, just like Noah did. And you know what? It says here that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? I sure have. And so have you. You're here. What grace allowed you to come? You said, well, I just came with my dad. My mom brought me. Yeah? But God allowed you to get here. And God put you in this meeting tonight to give you a little shake so that you would read your Bible. You would pray. You would be a testimony that's pleasing to Him. And that's really what we want to do. We want to please the Lord, don't we? He died on the cross for us. What more could we do but to please Him, the one who gave Himself for me? What a privilege. Now we're going to turn to the 12th chapter. We're not going to read the verses because we're running out of time. But at the 12th chapter talks to us a little bit about how Moses left the civilized world of the day and he walked across the desert step by step by step until he got to the land of Canaan. And he walked around the land of Canaan, and he went on other trips too later down in the chapter. He went, in verse 11, he went down to Egypt. He took step after step after step. To me, this is very beautiful. Here he's obeying God. He's taking steps that God told him to take. What does this represent? This represents his walk. This to me is a privilege that each one of us has. Each step we take is before God. He's the one that's watching how we walk. Now let's just turn to the 17th chapter for a minute. There's a verse in verse 1 that points this out very clearly. It says in verse 1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me. What does this mean? This means that as Abraham was walking along through the desert, down toward Egypt, up from Egypt, whatever he was doing, wherever he was going, he was walking before God. God was looking. Is it different for me? Is it different for you? No, it's the same thing. God is watching where we walk and how we walk, right? And God has a record of everything we do in our life for Him. So it's worth it to walk to please God. We're going to talk a little bit about that if we have time. Now let's turn over to the 24th chapter. Here we have the son of Abraham, Isaac. And we like this story, don't we? It's about him finding a wife, Rebecca. So let's go down a little bit further in the chapter 24 to the end, where it talks about Isaac marrying Rebecca. You know, that's exciting, isn't it? To get married, to find somebody that we really love and to love them, that's wonderful. But let's find out a little bit about Isaac. Verse 61, and Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The point I want to make here is that Isaac was walking. He was carefully meditating. He was thinking about the purposes of God in his life. And you know, God has purposes for each one of us. And you know, the camels were coming. Day after day after day, they went through the desert. But that day, he saw the camels. What did the camels represent? They represented his wife that was coming. His wedding was going to happen. He was going to get married. He was going to have a bride. And you know what? It got closer and closer and closer. And you and me are walking. Day after day, we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer until the Lord Jesus comes. And then there's going to be a marriage. And each one of us that belongs to the Lord Jesus is going to be united to the Lord Jesus forever. Forever happy in that great place we call heaven. We look forward to that. But you know, Isaac, what was he doing? It says he went out to meditate in the field at eventide. You know, I don't know this for sure, but I think he worked hard all day. It's not wrong to work hard. It's important to work. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat either, right? Now, here we have an important lesson, though. What are we doing in our spare time? What are we doing? Maybe we have to work at night a little bit. That's okay. We need to pay the bills as believers. We need to be honest. That's important. But when we have free time, what are we using our free time for? What was Isaac doing? He was meditating. What does that mean? He was thinking. What was he thinking about? I don't know. But what are we thinking about? What's in our mind? What's important to us? It was probably pretty important to him that his wife was coming. He anticipated her to live together for the rest of their lives. This was something he really looked forward to. But are you thinking about being in heaven with the Lord Jesus? Does that make you tick? Is that important to you? What's ahead? You know, I'm just dumbfounded sometimes with some of my customers. They don't have any hope beyond this world. All they can see is here. They've never looked anywhere above. They have no thought of how God thinks about them. They have no concept of eternity. They have no value in walking for God in this world. What a wonderful privilege we have. Let's use that privilege. Let's take advantage of what we have. And let's walk with God. Okay, now we're going to turn to chapter 48. I'm halfway through my notes. Sorry about that. I'll summarize real quick when I'm done this one. But I want to read verse 15 of Genesis 48. This is the time when Jacob is almost going to die. He's an old, old man. And his son, Joseph, says, "Oh, my dad's going to die. I want him to bless my boys." So he takes his two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. That's not their birth order, is it? Manasseh was born first. And then it was Ephraim. But the blessing that was given by Jacob went first to Ephraim and then Manasseh. The younger one got blessed before the older one. That was the purpose and sovereignty of God, wasn't it? But let's read verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me my whole life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." I love this. I can picture it in my brain. Now, I would like each one of us to do the same with the scriptures. Let's make them come alive to us. Let's not read them just like it's a story and say, "Oh, great." Let's meditate about it. Let's think about what these stories, let's get pictures in our brains. Here's an old man. Here's a dad that wants blessing for his two little boys. Right? Is there a dad that has two little boys here? That brought his little boys to get a blessing from being here? Guess what? I bet there is a lot of little boys here today. And there's a bunch of little girls here today. And there's parents that want blessing for their children. Where can they get it? What better place than to come to a place where the Word of God is opened, where the Scriptures are being taught? What an encouragement. And so here we have this old man. He's going to bless these little boys. And what does he say? "My fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk." Did walk before God. And I hope each one of us who is here have a realization in our souls of the grace of God. When I think of my dad was saved when he was 17 years old. My grandpa was 24. Did I deserve to be brought up in a Christian home? But I was. Were you? Did you deserve to be in a Christian home? What a blessing God has been to me. Let me say this. It says here, "The God which fed me all my life long unto this day." Have any of us not had a meal today? Who fed you today? God did. You say, "Oh, I just came to the camp and we had a meal. And these people put together a nice meal and I enjoyed it." God gave you your lunch today. God gave you your breakfast and God gave you your supper. And God has taken care of you your whole life so far. And you know what? He's worth following. He's worth serving. And may it be that each one of us will have a renewed desire to walk with God. And if we're 65 years old and we can't say that we've walked with God our whole life, let's start today. And boys and girls, somebody brought you here that really wanted you to have blessing and that had blessing in their families, and they want you to have it too. We've read about a whole bunch of people in the same family today. Generational blessing. That's what we want for our families, for our loved ones. And God wants it too. So I'm going to pray now. There's lots more that we can talk about. But may our walk be pleasing to the Lord. May we be encouraged to faithfully serve our Lord who died on the cross for us. Our God and Father, we just thank Thee so much for the privilege that we have to open Thy Word, to read these verses that we've read so many times, to be encouraged to walk before Thee, our God, in a way that's right. We pray for the children that are here, that are looking forward to playing dodgeball. Lord, we just pray that there may not be one of them that would not be saved before they leave this room. We pray for us older ones, that we might be in a good example to the younger. For the young people that are here, that they will have their walk in such a way that it's pleasing to Thee, our God, that will keep them out of sin and sorrow and trouble for blessing. We just thank Thee for Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We give thanks, our God, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.